Hi everybody, welcome to this week's bonus podcast where we are back with a listener question segment for the first time in, oh god, I don't know, 3 months, 4 months, I don't know. They don't come around very long, but I like doing them and I know we've got some listeners that really like these too. Usually the listeners that answer the questions, actually. So we've got two that we're going to be discussing today. I'm Michael, by the way.
I'm Gemma.
How are you feeling, Gemma? How's your sickness? People are wondering.
I'm okay, I reckon.
Gemma's okay? Oh, thank goodness for that. Right, so that was listener question one. And just to finish it off.
Oh, good. That's good.
Nice easy. No, the first one we're going to do is from listener Bronte. Long-time listener Bronte as well, who would like to know how we would make the community centre a bigger part of the street. So I think this year is the 10th anniversary of the community centre being on Victoria Street. So it seems quite a good time to sort of look over how
give
it's
it
gone and give it, yeah, and kind of look back and see, like, has it been good having it there? I definitely would say that the community centre could be used more. Whether it should be used more, I don't know. I guess we'll discuss today. We will have to see. So just a bit of background information then. So this is 14 Victoria Street. This used to be the Butchers for a very long time, didn't it? After the Victoria Street kind of expanded back around the turn of the millennium, Fred and Ashley ran it. But then after Ashley heroically got splattered in a tram crash, it was closed for a few years until Yasmin opened Jamila House in 2014. Jamila House, Gemma, do you remember what that was named after?
Yeah, it's Carl's wife. Yeah. So it's Alia and Zidane's mother.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And now erased from Victoria Street history. Alia's bitter about that because it's now just the Victoria Street Community Centre.
I always thought it was weird, and I'm not saying anything about mother-in-law's here, but I did think it was weird that she named it after her daughter-in-law who was dead. Like, most mothers-in-law would be like, good, that's out of the way.
Well, I'm sure...
Now I'm the main woman.
I'm sure if Cal had... dropped or shuffled off his mortal coil a few years earlier, it would have been the Cal House. It doesn't have the same ring to it, does it?
Cal House?
I don't know. But anyway, it was that for a good few years, and after the whole Jeff debacle with the old coercive control and all that, Yasmin was left with a bit of a debt, so she had to sell it off, and now she has got nothing to do with it. But we still get to see it every now and then on the show, but it is really quite rare that we ever go inside. Although you can go on the tour at the moment, can't you?
Right. Yeah. It's very, just a really eccentric setup that somebody would buy a community centre because they're normally run by councils or charities or churches, aren't they?
Mm.
They're not really a business.
I've never really kind of looked into community centres before. I can't say I've ever in my life walked into one.
Yes, you have, you bloody apart from, liar.
Well, no, actually, that's not true. You're right. We do go and vote in our local community centre, don't we? So they're sometimes used as polling stations.
Well, what? Polling.
Polling.
Whatever, a community centre is really any communal building that has no specific purpose.
I'd never really thought about it. I suppose, you know, when I was growing up, we had the village hall.
Yeah, that's a community centre.
Is that a community centre?
To me, that's what, it's like under the heading of community centre, like a church isn't. But like a church hall is, that's like a community centre. It's any kind of large building. Like I used to go to judo in a community centre.
Right, okay.
Like
yeah,
it's
so
just
it's
a
like,
communal
yeah, you...
building that, I don't know, run by who, the council or local ex-librarians. with a big large hall and like a kitchen area, toilets.
Generally a big large hall, not quite so much the one on Victoria Street,
that's
I suppose.
True, actually.
Because, like I said, you can poke your head around it if you go on the Coronation Street experience at the moment, but you can, you're like going to the opening, what's it called, like the opening vestibule, and you can't walk around the main set because, as of course, it's a dressed set, and it is definitely on the wee side. It's like one big-ish, not that big room with maybe a little bit at the back for tea and coffee facilities.
Got a little kitchen area.
Yeah.
It does. My thing that I would say that you should do, first of all, is make it a proper community centre with a hall. Then you can have your parties and things, you can hold them there, because at the moment, there's nowhere on the street that you can have a party that isn't a restaurant.
No.
And the Select used to be like that. Basically, the Select used to be the community hall. Mm. And before then, we had...
So that was for just in case you don't know, that was the big room on the side of the Rovers that didn't make sense.
It's like a function
spatially.
Room.
Yeah. It was this massive room that would never fit. It would be going into Rosamond Street.
Then we had, obviously, the community centre. Mm-hmm. And then before then, all the way back to Ina Sharple's days, it was...
The mission. Yeah, but that was more church related, wasn't
it? Yeah.
But they did have.
There's no big hall. There's no big place where you could have a baby's like sixth birthday party or whatever. You know,
they try and squeeze things like that in, don't they?
They put it into restaurants.
Yeah, but no, they kind of sometimes do it in Victoria Street as well. But it always just seems really, really cramped. It's still used very, very rarely. I had a look on Choripedia where they have the number of times we've been inside it, and it kind of averages about 7 to 15 episodes a year. So, I mean, there are hundreds of episodes of Coronation Street a year, so it's just really a handful. The year that it's been used most was in 2019, which was when Underworld relocated there. Do you remember after the roof collapse? And
that
even
was
then,
really weird.
That was only 35 episodes in a year, and one of the street's biggest businesses was located there. Least used, 2021, 2 episodes. Just 2 little visits to the community centre, although I suppose, you know, 2021, particularly at the beginning of the year, we weren't really communing very much back then. But there was one episode earlier that year when George was thinking of buying it to run the Undertakers from. And the second one was the notorious Frida kidnaps baby Aled episode, which, well, we loved that episode, but I think we seem to be about the only Coronation Street viewers who did. Currently, it seems like it's the home of Little Big Shots and not much else, doesn't
it? There was the Tai Chi.
Oh, yeah, Tai Chi Jerry was in there a few years ago, wasn't he?
I'm sure Gemma had a baby thing there.
Yeah, and just recently we had Liam and Joseph go to their kung fu lessons or whatever it was, the martial arts class, but we didn't see any of that. I mean, it's been used, dance classes, we had Glenda running some classes with Evelyn and Roy, was that last year? Did they win a ballroom dancing lesson or something? Also very good places for delivering your racist speeches if you're a far-right extremist.
Yes, you can hold all kinds of...
propagandic... discussions there, and they also used it for the Amdram group rehearsal space when you had Martha back with Brian and Mary and Ken.
Yeah, that's right.
It's been a Santa's grotto. It's been various things, but it still does feel like it could be used a lot more. But I think the size really is the problem.
Here's my idea, and answer Briante's question, and then we can move on because you've put a load of waffle here. But really, what I reckon they should do. Get rid of Chariot Square Hotel set, gut that, turn it in to the community centre, and make out, this is what I would do, make out Roy's decided he's retiring. He's
got to happen at some point.
Doesn't want to run Roy's Rolls anymore, but he wants to keep his hand in. He likes beans, he likes the smell of beans. He can't let that go. So he decides to run an on-site catering company that does, you know, the sandwiches and things like that, and it holds coffee mornings and stuff, so you can still have a place where people will go and have a coffee and a sandwich.
Mm.
But you also have the big space of Chariot Square Hotel, and it would make so much more sense if they said, oh yeah, we knocked through, you know, wherever, I don't even know, we knocked through, now the community centre's giant, and that's why people are going, you know, you could have had the Etheric Institute, Autovalent. Yeah. Etheric Foundation. I apologise. They could have had their stuff there instead of Chariot Square Hotel.
Chariot Square.
I'm sick and tired of Chariot
Square Hotel. Everyone's sick and...
It's nowhere near anything, but everyone goes there all the time.
And the fact that it's a fairly fixed set as well. I don't know how long they've been using it. 3-4 years?
We've
but it feels
there.
Like... Everything happens there.
There's so
there,
much more space in that area than they use. They use a tiny little bit of it, but there's also, you probably have seen them go to the place where there's like fake lifts, that section of it. And there's even a tiny kitchen on the end.
Yeah.
It's actually quite big. They got rid of all the internal walls and just made it a great big thing. I mean, you could keep the bar in there if you really wanted to, because, you know, there are places like... working men's clubs and stuff, they'll have a bar.
Mm.
That's a communal area. It's not a community centre. I don't know how many community centres are licensed. But it needs to have somewhere where food and drink is served on a kind of regular basis. And it needs to have a big area where you can hold events that would make more sense than people always going to the bistro or speed dial for every single occasion.
Yeah,
and so I'd just like to see a crappy little family party that actually normal people have, where the mum's running around, she's bought the cake, it's culling the caterpillar, she's got to get the you know, the bunting up, dad's being rubbish, not helping, somebody's got the music, they haven't brought they haven't got the right mixtape or whatever people do these days. Some kind of fun thing where it's not just I turn up to three places, the pub and two of the restaurants, and there is catered for me.
Most the problem is, if they did that, would we get sick of that place? I don't know.
No, because it would be a proper community centre.
I don't think it really needs to be a place that people will go regularly. Because people don't go to community centres regularly.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
You don't know. Community centres
get used, but from a street of, you know, whatever our cast size is at the moment, 90-100 people, not many of those are going to be going into their community centre very often.
Michael, people with kids and people who do classes and things will go.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I don't think that's...
And most of the people on the street have kids. I don't think that's a big
proportion of people. I don't know, I don't...
Alright, how many people go to the pub? How many people go to the bistro? Don't talk about it like that. That's not how... Coronation Street doesn't reflect exactly everybody's real life experience in this country. Otherwise, nobody would talk to each other and everyone would text instead of going around each other's houses.
Yeah. So you're suggesting knocking through Roy's when Roy retires. I do wonder... You know, how old is he now? 70-odd. I do wonder how long he has got left running that place. Because I'd like to see him get a bit of a retirement. Although he doesn't... I don't know, does he strike you as the sort of person that's retiring? Or is he going to keep on frying those eggs until he drops?
Really, the only reason I was kind of saying that is because I want it to be a place that has a cafe in it.
I think that having a place with a cafe would be nice. So I don't know whether we could... I was thinking about like knocking the other way. So Roy, you got Roy's on the left, then you've got Jamila House, and then the other side, you've just got some random property that has been sitting there for the best part of, 25 years or so. Nobody's ever lived there. There was a story a few years ago, I think, where maybe Adam and Sarah were looking into buying it, but whenever I've been on the tour, we go past this house and people are always like, oh, who lives there then? The tour goes, nobody lives there, it's a shop. No, it's not a shop. The house.
There's a house?
Yeah, there's a house. Exactly. Look, it's there and it's completely a waste of space. It's not even the house, I don't think. I'm just trying to remember my layout of it now. Maybe is it the house that has got the lawyers on top of it, or is that further down? I can't remember.
I think there's a shop front that's empty.
No, it's not. It's definitely a house to the right of Victoria Street.
Well, my idea is to knock through all of it because it's going to be giant. But the set will be inside where.
Yeah, I wouldn't be adverse to knocking through. It'd be a shame if Roy's were to go in a way, but you know, Coronation Street does feel like it gets stuck in the past for too long and is afraid of change. The cabin's been around for 50 years now, and I know it's changed locations and changed appearance over the years, but sometimes you do need to change.
Could
we have Roy's Rolls without Roy's? Is it just going to be a tribute that goes on and on and on? And is it really a tribute to Roy, or is it a tribute to the character of Roy Cropper that's beloved? It's like having Betty's picture in the Rovers, isn't it? Like, who is that for? Is it a way to so that viewers can look and go, ah, oh, remember the good old times?
I mean,
which it feels like maybe it is.
Roy's Rolls is weird in that it's probably the only place on the street that is synonymous with a single person and has not been anyone else's. Yeah. Like, I know there's a cafe there before, the Snakes Cafe, and then, you know, Alma and Gail ran the cafe in there.
Yeah, that was when it was on Rosamond Street, though, wasn't it, before it moved?
But Roy's Rolls, I mean, even Rita in the cabin, although she's been running it for years, it's not, you know, at different points in time, she's been a lesser important character. She doesn't even own it anymore. Although I bet she doesn't even realise that. Devs has been there for a bit, you know, a while, but not as long as... I don't know, Dev's...
Dev's been there about... He's probably been there about as long as Roy.
But Roy, it feels like that's his domain. And not even the Rovers has got somebody like that. Because he's a host, isn't he? It's different from a corner shop. Because Dev's not inviting you to sit and have a chat or relax. You know, Roy's Rolls is a place where you go and you sit down for a period of time.
You got Audrey's Salon as well, haven't you? And that's been Audrey's for a fair while. I know after Alma died, it was renamed Alma's for a bit. And that's kind of the thing about leaving something open as a tribute to a dearly departed ex-cast member or ex-character or resident or whatever you want to think of them as. I don't know. I think that maybe once Roy goes, Roy's role should. So yeah, knocking through wouldn't be a bad idea at all, just to shake things up a bit. But equally, I wouldn't be adverse to knocking back the other way. Sizing them poor. I just want something that's got a stage on again, because the Select had a stage. The old community centre, which is, you know, which used to stand where the Masonettes do now, that had a big stage. I mean, that was a key part of the show in the 1970s. It went from 1971 to 1989. There was a community centre on t'other side of the street, the posh side of the street as it is now. They didn't show it as much in the 80s, but throughout the 70s, you had all these, you know, big episodes like the Flower Show, which is one where Emily gets drunk.
That's the sort of thing I want to happen.
You had Albert Tatlock giving lectures on gardening, you had Keep Fit classes, people put on plays like they had the Cinderella play. If somebody wants to do a play now on Coronation Street, it feels like they just find a corner of the Rovers and shove it in there and do the tiniest stage possible. Or the Bistro, they had Martha's play on, didn't they? It feels too cramped.
I'd like to have a big area in the community centre.
The other thing I was thinking when I was considering my answer to Briante's question is the fact that now we've got the precinct, there is that community hub building, isn't there? Which is the back of the, what's there? That's the security guard's office, IRL, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Which they've now painted in garish colours and got Weatherfield Community Hub there. And that kind of got me thinking, do we just use that instead? And then you don't need the knocking through. If the community centre were to just close and reopen as something else, all community centre stuff could be in that community hub, and then you got it off the street, and then you wouldn't remember that it wasn't there so much.
Yeah, but how would you have people going in and out of it? You have to have an entrance.
Yeah, I'm sure that they could build an entrance or just stick a set of steps up or something. I don't think that's a big deal.
I mean, looks like it's huge, doesn't it? That's got different rooms. There's going to be a food bank in there, maybe some like charity, like people like Toya could work in there. Like, do you need help with anything? I'll help you. You could have people teaching classes about here's how to, you know, do DIY or something.
Yeah.
They could even have one of these things, which I love, this library of stuff. Have you seen these? It's like a library of stuff. And you can go and say, all right, I need a stand mixer, and you like rent it for like a week, or like a drill, or a rake, or
I mean, generally the community centres are a anything can happen here place, but it could be good to still have a corner that was dedicated to something like that. And even like you said, a cafe area. I think that let's say that we've still got Roy's Rolls for the next, I don't know, 10 years, come back in 10 years' time and laugh in my face about that one. But if they were to extend the community centre rightwards into that empty property, I don't know whether it'd feel right to have another cafe right next to Roy's. I don't think Roy would like that. But having a sit-down place in the community centre in the precinct would be quite cool. And then you couldn't film the things, obviously, inside that security building. But I don't know, that... I almost think that I prefer the idea of getting it away from the street. There's so much on Victoria Street at the moment that just feels like it's dead space. And this extension has been around for, what, seven, eight, it must be 10 now since they moved to Media City, because you got the tattoo place there that we've never seen inside, and how many tattoos have been inked there over the past decade. You could count it on one hand, probably. You got the snooker hall that they had for that one story with Peter buying it. You had a couple of scenes in there. It's since been forgotten. Trim Up North, that's now closed, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's dead. The whole of Victoria. There. Yeah, you got Red Bank that's upstairs.
And George's place.
You got solicitors there. You've got the...
Funeral directors.
Underneath the solicitors, you've got the... I can't remember. It's a computer repair place, isn't it? Never seen in there. The tram station is a good addition. That gets used a fair amount, even if it's just people, you know, walking out of it when we're to believe that they've been away in Wilder Weatherfield. But yes, so much dead space there. Yeah. So it's just quite surprising considering it's been there 10 years and they've not really done a whole lot with it.
Well,
so I say get the community centre out of there if you're only going to use it for 7 to 15 episodes a year. And start to renew that area, maybe.
Make Evelyn the manager.
I mean, I think that's a good side discussion to have with this. Who runs it?
Who works
because
there?
The at least when Yasmin run the place, that gave us an excuse to see inside it. Like sometimes, especially during the coercive control story, you'd have, you know, the police go in to see Yasmin, and now. There's no tie to it. Glenda's the closest, isn't she?
Yeah.
I quite like the idea of it being Glenda's little domain, but then at the same time, I don't want her to stray too far away from being a barmaid because I think she's absolutely cracking at the Rovers.
I want a committee.
Go on.
A community centre committee, and you'd have. This would be just a way of getting people. The thing about Coronation Street. Like inherently is that I will always struggle to explain why are you here? Why are these characters having a conversation? Why, you know, and it's always because they're having a drink at the pub or because they're having a meal in a restaurant.
Because they're having their daily breakfast out.
Because they're buying something in the shop, etc., etc. Why not just have, because they're having a committee meeting. And so you'd have Glenda, you'd have Evelyn, you'd have Yasmin, you might have Toya, I'm sure that Roy would involve himself in some way. Nina, all these different kinds of people could be involved in like running stuff and arguing. That would be really fun to have.
I'm thinking, you know, the Vicar of Dibley Parish Council could we get a Coronation Street equivalent with a...
Brilliant. Gail could be there because she does the bottoming. She loves to say that.
It seems getting somewhere where some of the older characters can just sit round a table and have some really good chat,
yeah,
you know, with some witty dialogue and yeah, people arguing with each other, falling out. Evelyn trying to chair the whole thing. Maybe go on.
And it's not an issues thing. It's not nobody's going to have an affair with each other. It's that kind of character building interaction and witty banter that people loved in Corrie in the old days.
Mm.
People used to interact with each other in a different way, I think, than they do now in Corrie.
What would they be generally deciding, though? Because if you think back to the Vicar of Dibley, it's because it's everything that's going on in this little village. The days of Percy Sugden, it'd be neighbourhood watch meeting.
They would just have a regular meeting where they have to decide, you know, we've got to have the monthly meeting. Glenda, your little big shots kids are flushing... Too much toilet roll.
Or like, council haven't collected the bins again.
That, all that kind of minutia of everyday life that Coronation Street just glosses completely over. But it's so ripe for like observational comedy and interpersonal like tension and conflict that would arise naturally from people having to work together that don't really get on.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, what? You know, it's really hard to get that in Coronation Street at the moment. This would be such a great idea. Mm. Like, you know, Toya going, I thought it'd be nice if we put some wasabi peas out on the table when people come for the counselling sessions. And they'd be like, no, Toya, nobody wants your wasabi peas. And Gail would say, I've got some olives if anybody wants any olives. And people are like, no, we know you and your olives, Gail. You can get a bent. You know, and Gail saying, "Oh, we haven't got enough money for bleach, so I put vinegar," and then Evelyn will be like, "I thought it smelled like chips in the stairwell."
Do you think that they would dare have a series of scenes that aren't directly related to an ongoing story?
They need to do that. I'm sorry, but they need to. I keep thinking about this; it's driving me mad.
Mm.
We just need a break from relentless issues and, you know, up in the ante every 5 minutes. Everything's life and death. Every relationship's on the brink of disaster. Why can't we just have people arguing over what, you know, 2-ply or 1-ply toilet roll?
Yeah.
And Evelyn, like, trying to be in charge of everybody and bossing people around and, you know, people trying to come up with ideas. There's just so much... that they could do if they properly use the community centre. There's so many more avenues for characters to meet, so many new ideas for things. I mean, they've tried to do it, like the gym, they tried to do it. That was a good opportunity to have a bunch of characters that don't normally hang around with each other, a reason for them to be around each other.
Mm. I think having it as a kind of a hub for old people, really, that gets me excited. Because we've been watching more of the old ones, and for a place for the likes of Ina and Minnie and Martha, as it was back then, we don't have those characters.
But can I
now.
Just say?
But what?
I think what we're missing a little bit here is that old people don't exist like that anymore.
Well, Evelyn exists.
But Evelyn's not the same, you know.
She's not, no.
Old age pensioners don't exist like they used to. They don't, like, just get their little trolleys and go to, you know, Sainsbury's and spend the day there and then come home again. They are active, they are switched on, they know what they're doing, they're connected with people. Yes, there are people that are lonely, but they are so much older. And when you think to, when you're talking about Ina, Minnie, Martha, Albert, all those people, they were actually not as old as you think they were. Like, how old would you guess they were? Like 80, 90? No, they were probably like 55. Do you know what I'm saying? People are younger, people are younger, they're healthier. They're more social and they're more connected. You don't need like an old age pensioner's home.
I would
scoop them up.
Yeah, but we had those great scenes, you know, Stillwaters, when we had Ken and Norris and Claudia. That was kind of the closest we've got to this, and I still think, you know, we're missing.
I mean, it doesn't matter.
But we're missing a character like Norris or Percy Sugden, or Albert Tatler. We don't have kind of a cantankerous old man character.
Yeah,
and cantankerous old men definitely exist. I'm sure there are some sweet old ladies that exist, and I would love for Evelyn to have a little friendship group that she could be the boss of. The problem is, if they tried to remake the trio, the Rovers trio, everyone would just say, "Oh, it's not the same."
They wouldn't, because I'm going to tell you, most people don't remember that. Most Coronation Street viewers are
That's not going to stop Corey viewers complaining about
things. No, I know, but they won't know
what
they're... I don't think most people have enough of a perspective.
To be honest,
and the people that are listening to this, I'm not talking about you guys.
To be honest, people...
I know that you know.
When Evelyn came into it, they were saying,
yeah,
oh, she's just
thinking.
Like Blanche.
She's not, though. Don't
say that about her. So she's just a bad Blanche ripoff. She's become a great character in her own right, I suppose. But yeah, I'd like it to be a big area with a stage, old people's kind of get-together place, because you could have your young uns in... your pub goers in the pub, your trendies in the bistro.
I'll tell you what you could have.
Your families may be in the cafe, and just old people meeting up in the community centre, but yeah, also a bigger space for some of these larger events to happen. Problem is with that, in Coronation Street, how often do you get large events with, like, you know, tens of cast members all together at the same time? You don't. So if you're not through, there'd be the issue that it could end up looking quite empty.
Number one, tell you what you couldn't have, and that is a Young Mothers Club, because they all get killed off. Number two...
Young Orphans Club.
I will actually say that Coronation Street is getting better and better at filling the Rovers out, so I think that they'll be able to do community centre stuff.
I think back to episodes like The Flower Show back in the 70s, and was that... I can't remember whether that was the same one where Len Fairclough won the cake decorator. Am I remembering this right?
I don't know, but...
It felt just so big and populated. I just can't see anything like that on Curry anymore.
Yeah, well, they will. If you build it, they will come, Michael.
Mm.
I think they're getting back to it. I think that they're gradually getting back to it, and maybe this would give them a kick up the bum. But can you imagine a flower show with Yasmin and Sally as rivals trying to grow the best zinnias. Can you imagine a cake decorating contest where, like, all the women challenge their men to bake a cake because they think, like, the men will take the mick out of it and say, right, you do it then. If cake's making so easy, and then you get, like, Steve and Tim and Kevin.
I think Tim would do a really good job at that.
All trying to make their own cakes. I think it would be so much fun. There's so much. Doesn't it just spark the imagination? This unused space that is just taking up a shopfront in Coronation Street. If they actually made it into a proper area that had enough space, there's no end of really cool stuff that they could do. It would just be so much fun.
If they were willing to put in things that weren't related to a longer ongoing story.
We're getting a new producer. I don't know what her vision is. But if she wants some ideas, somebody send this to her. I think that Coronation Street would... Really, I think it would be so much better if it just went back to basics a little bit.
Lots of people are saying that the community feel generally in Coronation Street isn't there anymore, and everyone feels very disconnected from each other unless you happen to be in their story. And this could be a great place for that to be fixed.
One thing watching older episodes that you'll notice is that one half-hour episode could literally just be one story, and they fill it out because the characters are so well realised and the scripts are so tight. How about a half-hour episode, because I don't think you could do it with a full hour anymore. But how about half an hour episode where Mary, Evelyn, and I'll let you think of the third person, are doing a polling station, and people are coming in to vote for the local councillor elections, and it's some people that, I don't know, who would it be? Steve versus, I don't know, Sally or whatever, and they're all coming in one by one and they're having a conversation about who they're going to vote for, and Evelyn's like, you know, saying, oh, but I know who you're going to vote for, and Mary's like, you're not allowed to stay, you know. There's so many, they still have those characters, they still have those writers, the people that are on the show can still do that. It's just, I think Coronation Street has not got the courage and the confidence in itself to be able to say, let's just do what we used to do, what we used to be really good at, which is just character interactions. And you can't tell me that people don't crave that kind of stuff, because there are so many sitcoms and TV shows that are just about tight-knit group of characters who interact with each other, and they don't really do much else. They just talk.
What would you think about the idea of having, like, a regular business that's based in the community centre for part of the day to try and up the amount it's used, like preschools place in in there, and you could have a character being a preschool teacher maybe, and then you got, because if you want to have an ongoing story in the community centre, that's probably one of the reasons why it doesn't get used very much, because it is just for one-off things.
Oh, I've got an idea. One of these, you could have an area that's like a space that you can rent for like a workshop or something. So Nina could make jewellery or like sew things or something. And then you could have home working spots. And you could have people like, say, Michael doing his own business, but he goes to the community centre to use a workspace there.
Yeah.
And he just like does his work there. And like maybe from time to time, Dee Dee could be like, oh, Adam's driving me crazy, I'm going to go for hire a workspace. That's how people use spaces like, you know.
Yeah. I wonder whether it could be a place that Billy could have as a regular workplace, but because he's off Archdeacon in around the Weatherfield or wherever his you know, his boundaries extend to, we never ever see him at work. And that's, I mean, you don't have to have everybody working on the street, but me thinking about the village hall that used to be used as the church in the village where I grew up, could potentially be interesting location base for Billy, maybe
like a coffee mornings.
Yeah There's so much you could do, but I think that space is the key, and whether that means knocking into Roy's or knocking into the house or up and moving the whole thing into that community hub in the precinct, I don't think you're going to get anywhere with the community centre unless you give it the space that type of building needs, because as far as I know, community centres are not that tiny.
Yeah, and I think using the Chariot Square Hotel set is a good idea, because I think the reason they use that is because, you know, they've got three different units normally filming simultaneously on the street, and there's just not enough space, and so that's why sometimes things will happen in a set where you're like, why?
Charity Square Hotel just Chariot Square Hotel just doesn't seem to fit the vibe of Coronation Street. It's supposed to be about the working class. Who goes to a swish hotel as much as anyone in Coronation Street does?
It doesn't even fit its own vibe, does it? Because it looks like like I said before, a working man's club where somebody's put metal art on the wall. Because it's got that shoddy old wooden bar, which it would look really nice, but not where it is, because the rest of the decoration doesn't go with it. The people are in there, sometimes they're having a fight about football meeting, and sometimes they're eating lobster and oysters. Mm. What's the vibe here? What are we doing? It looks cheap in there, and it's not supposed to. It's supposed to look really high-end and luxurious.
Yeah, and you got the bistro for as high-end and luxurious as Coronation Street needs to be.
It's very in keeping with, like, trendy restaurant-y Manchester kind of, you know, locations.
Yeah. But it still doesn't mean that we get very much Debbie, does it? You know, I wouldn't be complaining about Chariot Square quite so much if we managed to get a decent, meaty Debbie Webster storyline.
We'd have to get rid of Debbie if we got rid of...
She could run something else. You'd barely notice if they got rid of Debbie, sadly, at the moment.
Well, anyway, I want her to do something important on the street, but I don't want it to be coming up to people who are having a drink at Chariot Square Hotel and saying, are you having a nice drink? Mm. Which is what she seems to do at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, I hope, Bronte, that's answered that question. Well,
that made me really excited about
something that's not going to happen at all, but there's a few ideas thrown out there for Kate Brooks.
First aid club. I mean, first, you know, when you've got to get your first aid certificate for work,
yeah,
they could run one of those, and that people could faint in a hilarious way and stuff like that.
Yeah, they've got to be willing to do stuff that's not related to stories, and also resist the urge about making it too silly. Because even when they do events at the moment, sometimes, you know, like when they had the Tai Chi and it was just Steve McDonald squatting and farting.
Yeah, no, we don't want farting in the community centre.
No, but...
You can put that on a t-shirt.
Okay, well, hopefully that's given a few ideas and answers what Bronte wants to know.
So we've got the next question, and it is from listener Frankie, who has seen a post on Reddit and wanted to know what we thought,
This is a few months old post, isn't it?
Which I haven't seen. I haven't gone on the Corrie subreddit for ages. Although I should have stolen some ideas.
I did read this post when it came out, but I have not remembered any responses to it. So this is all coming fresh. What's the question?
Well, what is the question?
Oh, sorry, I've not got my notes document open. The question is,
if the Simpsons were to do a Corrie crossover, which Simpsons characters would play which Corrie characters? So this is a reference to how in The Simpsons, every so often they'll act.
When they run out of ideas, which, you know, they have been doing pretty regularly for the past 20 years or so, they'll have a little segment where they parody...
The characters act as actors, don't they?
Yeah, they just parody other popular things, like the Thrones one. There's something they would do for the Treehouse of Horror Halloween episodes or whatever. So
now, hopefully everybody knows The Simpsons, and if you don't... You probably just want to turn this off.
we like The Simpsons, although, yeah, maybe not so much in the past two decades. But back in the heyday, it was great, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I remember getting Sky TV back in 1997 and being so excited to have Sky Ones because I could watch all The Simpsons. And I was just obsessed with it as a teenager. I also just want to pause and kind of say, we're doing a lot of crossover. Do people like the? We're doing a lot of crossover questions on the listener questions, aren't we? I think the last listener questions we did is if Coronation Street crossed over with Gladiators. But anyway, I thought that this was too fun an opportunity to miss because of our fandom of The Simpsons. So I watched it, you know, every day on Sky One when I was little. I even when I was growing up doing my GCSE and A level in German and French, I would find old episodes of The Simpsons in those languages to watch. I had books about The Simpsons. When I went to university, I got my dad to record The Simpsons on video and send me up the videotapes. Once I got to series 10, went a little bit downhill, and I've not watched it regularly for a jolly long time. What's your history with watching The Simpsons?
I think my mum was like, you can't watch The Simpsons.
Your mum hates The Simpsons, doesn't she?
They're terrible. They're a bad influence on children.
Is that what she would have thought? Probably. I thought that she just didn't find it funny, but I do know that when we've tried to put it on at your house, your mum's been like, I don't want to watch this.
I don't remember her saying that.
How much did you watch it when you were younger?
I think I just watched it. I don't think she...
I think we all did, everybody our age, didn't we?
Well, she tried to stop me from watching anything, because I think she knew that if she did that, it'd just be like, oh, must be good then.
I think it just really winds her up. So we know enough about The Simpsons to be able to answer this question. And so every so often they'll have... And I don't think... I've got a prediction that this is not going to happen in The Simpsons anytime soon. But if they were to do an episode that was Simpsons take on Coronation Street, we want to know which... Well, Frankie wants to know which Simpsons characters would play which Coronation Street characters. So we're looking for kind of equivalents and Simpsons characters that could slide into the roles of folk from Weatherfield.
Right.
I find this quite difficult. I have had got a few notes and my own ideas here, but I found it really, really tricky to come up with some good ones. How did you find it?
What have you done? Just gone, this character is that character.
Yeah.
That's. I thought it was easy.
Oh, well, do you want to give me some of yours? Do you want to hit me off with some?
Here's a blast from the past that you probably, most of you, don't even know who this is. The old owner of the Italian restaurant on Coronation Street, Luigi.
Yeah.
Luigi. The chef, Luigi Risotto from The Simpsons.
Okay, we're going like that. I haven't got any... I've kind of stuck with New Coronation Street. Have you got kind
new
of
Coronation,
ones...
I've just done what I thought of.
You got ones from...
Another racially insensitive stereotype, Apu.
Yeah.
Uncle Umed.
See, I would have just assumed... if I'm sticking in the modern day, then I've obviously got Dev being played by Apu.
No.
He's very... you know, he can
Apu,
be quite...
Apu wishes he had the range of Dev. Do you not think?
Apu can be he's usually fairly grounded, isn't he? He's one of the most, I suppose, sensible and sympathetic people on the street, which is why when that whole thing blew up with the fact that a white man, was it Hank Azaria, played Apu.
I know that he's a very controversial character now, but I do also know that there are plenty of people who really liked him, and there are loads of Asian people in America who were saying, I love Apu, and I don't see what
can
the issue
we,
is.
Can we kind of start with the main Simpsons family and say, because who they're going to be in it, aren't they?
Yeah.
Who are Homer and Marge and Lisa and Bart going to play?
I don't think you can find one family and say, this family is...
No, I don't think so either. There's so few 2.4 children families in Coronation Street these days. Mm.
Yep. I mean, I have put, for my Homer, I've got Steve McDonald.
I went for Tim. I was going, why?
I've got the same amount of hair.
Well, that's what I was thinking. If I wanted to have somebody saying, well, here's Tim, then Homer's going to fit into that role better. I know that, maybe personality-wise, Homer's a bit more like Steve and
yeah,
a little
stupid.
Bit more rotund and stupid.
Beer-spilling idiot.
Yeah, but...
incompetent. I don't understand. I mean, isn't there kind of... There's a kind of a little joke there at one point that Homer is actually much more competent at his job than anyone credited him for. Mm. But I think you could kind of say the same thing about Steve, because how the hell has this man managed to run businesses his whole life? Mm. He's always been a bit of an entrepreneur, and he's always landed on his feet, and he's not short of money. He doesn't struggle, but he's so stupid. How does he do it? I don't know.
Yeah. I'd like to put Homer and Marge together, but I don't see Marge as playing a Sally type character. So if I had Tim as Homer as Tim, Marge as Sally doesn't work. But equally, she definitely doesn't work as Tracy either, does she?
I didn't have a Marge. Because none of Steve's wives is Marge. You know, you can't look at any of them and go, oh, that's Marge. I don't think Marge exists.
I mean, no. If you're going to have a Sally to Homer's Tim, then I'm thinking somebody like Helen Lovejoy, maybe, being a little bit snooty and a little bit hysterical sometimes.
I mean, what if we boil Marge down? Who is Marge? She's like the straight woman.
Yeah, the homemaker, straight woman,
sensible.
Yeah, very restrained and sort of content with the fact that she's just there scrubbing up the after her family,
you know,
and takes pride in who.
I put her down as Miss Hoover, but Claire Peacock.
Hang on, Miss Hoover. Who's Miss Hoover? Now, who have you got Miss Hoover
Claire playing?
I put
Claire Peacock to be Miss Hoover.
Right.
Right? But she could be Marge.
Yeah.
Maternal, sensible. Marge is not exciting anybody, is she? Marge is just there.
I don't know, some people.
Marge is just there, isn't she? She's great. If she was real, she'd be the best one. She likes to clean rocks. I can imagine Claire Peacock, that being a big hobby of hers, if she knew that there were dirty rocks anywhere. I bet she would say foliage instead of foliage.
Yeah, maybe she'd work. Have you got a Bart and Lisa playing a role?
I think that Amy Barlow is...
Oh, Amy's not a bad shout for Lisa, yeah. I was kind of thinking a bit older, so it wouldn't necessarily work, but... She could very well be a Toya. She's a vegetarian after all. Cause stick and maybe an older looking Lisa in a Victorian floral dress.
That could work. Pearls, give it
but
away.
If I wanted to stick younger, I'd probably have Lisa playing someone like Eliza as being a bit smart and.
Well, I'm picking anyone from any era, any age.
Well, that's fine. Well, our answers are going to differ then. And then I've got Bart playing Jake.
Bart is obviously David Platt.
Oh, he's got the spiky hair, hasn't he?
He's got the spiky hair. He's got the attitude. He smashes windows with his...
Young David,
though. What is this thing?
Yeah, slingshot.
Slingshot.
Yeah.
I mean, he used an axe in... David did.
I'm sticking with trying to get the ages right, and Bart is about 3 times younger than David Platt at the moment.
You were just being boring then, aren't you? You're just giving yourself hard time.
Okay, so some other equivalent. One little family unit that I think could be fairly easily transplanted is I've got a Gemma and a Chesney set up. I think that Gemma and Chesney need to be played by Cletus and Brandine. Because, common as muck, like Brandine wearing these little crop tops with her belly hanging out.
Yeah.
You got Cletus is redhead, as is Chesney, little bit dumb. And they've got a heck of a lot of children, haven't they?
They do.
The Sputklers, they got a gaggle of 10 or so of them. So not quite, you know, even more than the 4 or 5 Winter Browns have got. But I think that they would work very nicely together as a family unit.
Yep.
I mean, I'd be back and forth here. Do you want to give me one of yours?
Bumblebee Man.
Yeah.
Carlos, who was the original character played by Malcolm Hebden.
So not only in your vision is The Simpsons taking the fairly unrealistic idea of making a Coronation Street crossover, they're also going back in time with this, just in case there's any Simpsons viewers that go, I like old Coronation Street. Not only that, but they're also bringing out the real...
Obscure ones.
Obscure 10-episode characters of Carlos.
Listen, I just went... I took Frankie's question to mean... Find equivalents between Coronation Street characters of any era and The Simpsons. Because the thing is about it, The Simpsons, they're already drawn, aren't they? They're ageless. You can have them play anybody. You can have them play Ina Sharples. Because Ina Sharples, it's not like I'm getting Coronation Street actors to play The Simpsons, am I? Then I would have to be restricted to how old is everybody now.
Mm. I got Bumblebee Man being Kirk from when he was dressed up as his Buzz of the Bee.
Buzz of the Bee!
Only used for slapstick and nothing else.
Yeah.
So I thought that they That's fit quite right. nicely together. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, should we get some of the obvious ones out of the way, like Craig and Police Chief Wiggum?
Yep, I've got that one.
I know that Coulson has slimmed down now, so he's not quite as rotund as Wiggum is. But as a...
Bake him away toys is exactly something I can imagine Craig saying.
As a completely inept police officer... That in no way should be responsible for...
anything.
Yeah, I think that fits just perfectly.
I've got Albert Tatlock is Hans Molman.
Yes.
Because he's old.
Anything else?
He's got his ways, isn't he, Hans? You know, if it seems unassuming, but he's actually up to stuff sometimes.
He gets killed off quite a lot. He's a bit of the Kenny of the Simpsons. I'm sure Hans Molman has died on numerous occasions. So it keeps coming back again. Other ones. Some of the ones I was thinking of just, you know, do their jobs fit? So we had Craig and Wiggum. So I'm thinking, you know, if there were an episode that was echoing modern or reflecting modern Coronation Street, you'd probably have Lovejoy, Reverend Lovejoy playing Tim, for example.
Tim? What?
Not Tim. Oh, sorry. Tim, I'm thinking Tim Lovejoy. Billy. Billy, I mean.
Yeah, I put Billy, but then I put I've got Ernest Bishop is Ned Flanders.
Yeah, I can see. And do you want to say any reason for that?
Because he's...
Jolly and Christian, bespectacled.
Yeah, he genuinely believes in the power of Christ to compel you to do nice things, except when he's taking photos of naughty ladies. But yeah, he was just sensible. It wasn't Ned that... his wife got shot in a tragic way, so kind of a parallel there, because Ernest Bishop got shot.
So almost there, okay.
And I've got... Helen Lovejoy is Emily Bishop.
Yeah, maybe. Helen's a bit younger, isn't she? But I suppose we have seen Emily Bishop at many ages over the years. I wanted to think, who'd play Evelyn at the moment? Because if I wanted Simpsons to do a Coronation Street character, you got to have the battle axe Evelyn in. So I'm thinking that probably like Agnes Skinner
could be her. Maud Grimes, I've got her.
Yeah, maybe. Or,
that's a good one, though.
Or Patty or Selma or someone like that could be Evelyn.
Phyllis Pierce is my Patty and Selma.
Blue haired, well, yeah. Bluish haired.
And also purple a bit rinse. Saucy and funny voice.
Yeah. Do you think, because if I was thinking, though, if I had Agnes as being Evelyn, could I then have Tyrone as being the Principal Skinner kind of character? As the I know that they're mother and son in the show.
No, because he's not even henpecked, is he?
No.
She. The thing is about it. She's not henpeckered because nobody really cares what she thinks.
Mm. I think maybe someone like Brian could make a good Principal Skinner. He's got the school background, and he's also a bit of a square, isn't he? Thinks he's down with the kids.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Obviously, you know, Adam, you got played by maybe groundskeeper, Willie.
No, you can't say that.
Why?
There's nothing at all similar about them except Scottish. For they're both Scottish.
Scottish. Okay, blue-haired lawyer then. You know who that is in The
Lionel
Simpsons.
Lionel Hutz. Who are you talking about?
There's two lawyers on The Simpsons, isn't there? There's Lionel Hutz. And then you got blue-haired lawyer, who is... I don't know whether...
Do you know what his name is?
He hasn't got one. He's literally just called blue-haired lawyer. He's got glasses, and he's got blue hair, and he's kind of the straight lawyer, whereas...
the boring one.
Yeah. Lionel Hutz is more of the...
And he kind of sound like that.
No, he's... blue-haired lawyer is... I think he's got like a New York accent, maybe.
Well, maybe that's what I was trying to do.
You look him up. But Lionel Hutz is
more like Ernest Bishop.
Yeah, he does actually. Lionel Hutz is more of a completely incompetent, like totally not got a clue what he's doing there being a lawyer. And I give Adam a little bit more credit than that.
Yeah, we need a funny lawyer that doesn't know what they're doing.
Mm. What about somebody like Who's gonna be Jenny? Because if you're gonna have a Simpsons episode, you gotta set in Coronation Street. They gotta go into the Rovers. Anyone there that in the Simpsons that you think would make a good mine hostess?
Well, not Mo.
I think I'd quite like to keep the ginger hair. I've already used up Brandine, so maybe somebody like Maud Flanders, but I don't see very much similarity.
You get hung up
on
the weirdest things. Why do they have to have the same colour hair?
Well, you know, that's a big thing about Jenny. Do you remember Mindy Simmons, who was in one episode, she comes to work in the power plant with Homer, and she's like this perfect woman, and she liked donuts as well.
No, that is...
Was that Michelle Pfeiffer who played
her? I don't
know,
but that is Demi... Homer.
Yeah. I don't know whether they'd use her in a Simpsons episode because
what about her, the madam?
But Belle from the Maison Derrière.
Yeah.
What playing
she could
who?
Be Jenny.
I don't know.
Well,
she's sassy.
She's got a bit about her,
isn't she? Mm. Okay, I've got not too sure about that one. What about the other? I think that Mo would make a great Nick. Just coming in looking grumpy.
I suppose he just stands behind the bar and stares at people.
Yeah, exactly. I think they'd make a perfect replacement. They would. I had Leanne as being, while we're talking about Nick, I think that someone like Edna Krabappel could play Leanne as being kind of like a little bit sarcastic, because we see Edna kind of sitting at the back of the classroom while the projector's playing the video, don't we, for Bart, and she's just sitting there.
I had Wendy Crozier as Edna Krabappel because she's a seductress.
Okay, maybe, yeah.
Don't you think? She was. She was a seductress.
She was. Could we have... I know. Do you remember, Jessica Lovejoy, who's Helen and Tim's daughter? I don't know whether she's in this picture that we're looking at now. Do you know who I mean? I reckon if we got a grown-up her, she could be Carla, because she's got the straight black hair. She's a bit of a cow. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can say no if you don't. I don't mind. That's okay. She had like one episode of herself and she's just been in the background ever since.
Who's Barney if it's not Kirk?
Oh yeah, Barney. We've got to have him playing someone.
At times, I reckon he's Len Fairclough.
Yeah.
Just a drunken idiot. I think Len thought far too highly of himself.
I think if we're going to go back in time, I would rather have Barney playing a Stan Ogden.
Yes.
Layabout.
Or,
alcoholic.
What's his sidekick?
Eddie Yates.
Yeah, Eddie Yates.
Yeah, maybe one of those. But I'm trying to keep mine in the present. When I had a few past characters, like, I would want, if Richard Hillman was still in it, let's get Sideshow Bob to play him.
Oh, I've got Richard Hillman.
Scheming shadow dweller.
No, I've got Sideshow Bob is John Stape because of all the rakes that he stood on.
Oh yeah, just to.
Which I think if you could take John Stape's like murderous career on Coronation Street and sum it up with one action, it would be stepping on a rake, and everyone laughs at you.
I've got Sam Milhouse.
Yeah.
Surely. Well, there's quite a few little nerds that go to Elliot Springfield Elementary, isn't there? You got Milhouse, you've got Database, Martin. But
oh, a bunch
I think,
of nerds.
Yeah, but I think, for the glasses and the general well-knownness, I would have Sam playing Milhouse.
Yes, that's good. That's a good one. If Homer is Tim, then who are Lenny and Carl?
Yeah, he hasn't really got kind of. I mean, the trio at the moment that they're doing at the moment is Steve, Tim, and Kev.
Yeah,
isn't it? So,
I don't know the difference between Lenny and Carl.
Well, you know
just
which
friends.
One. Yeah, I don't know.
Which one is which?
Well, yeah, Lenny's the white one, and Ken and Carl's the black one. But I don't think they've got a whole much of personality
don't really have
other
much
than
about them, do they?
they're just the drinking buddies.
Yeah,
but I don't think we've really got an equivalent, and there aren't very many black characters in Coronation Street, full stop. Who, I mean, I suppose you could have someone like Michael Bailey playing Carl.
No, these are cartoon characters. They can be whatever colour you want. They're all yellow.
They're all yellow. Apart.
I never understood
ones.
The point of making people different races when they're all yellow.
Okay.
Why can't we have unity?
I got another good one from the past, Mike. And let's say, yeah, Mike Baldwin and Danny Baldwin, Kang and Kodos, the aliens, because they come from the faraway extraterrestrial land
of London.
They might
as well have been from another planet, haven't they?
Nobody understands what they're saying.
Okay, I've got...
Oh, I had Lenny, I've just looked further down my ideas. I've got Lenny and Carl, Lloyd and Steve.
Yeah. Okay.
If we're going from the past,
yeah.
and then Lloyd was a person of colour, so he's my Carl, and then Lenny's Steve, Tim's my Homer in my idea.
Yeah.
I'll
let you have that one.
I reckon Fred Elliott, Mayor Quimby.
I've got Jude is played by Dr. Nick.
I've got Jude and Dr. Nick as well.
That's so funny. Our brains work the same sometimes.
Fake medical qualification or fake doctorate qualification.
Who is your Grandpa Simpson?
I mean, it's if they were actually going to make this, surely that would be Ken. Because we haven't got a Ken at the moment.
No, there's no Ken. I get what you mean. I've got him as Percy Sugden.
Yeah, I mean, there's... Maybe, like I said, I haven't got many old ones. If you were going to do a Corey crossover in The Simpsons, you'd have to have Ken, wouldn't you? And you got your choices of Mr. Burns, Grandpa, Jasper.
Who's Jasper?
Jasper's the Ape's friend with the big white beard. You got Crazy Jewish Guy.
Is that his name?
I think so, yes. But you'd have to have a Ken, wouldn't you? And there just aren't quite enough old characters that would fit the bill. I don't know. Who else we got? I'm running out of ideas already.
I've run out pretty much. But my final one is Crazy Cat Lady, Minnie Caldwell.
I'm sticking with the modern characters. I got Crazy Cat Lady as Mary. I don't know who else could be a Mary. Someone who's just like bright and cheerful and got lots of crazy stories to tell, but equally nobody's really impressed by her or believes her. And I don't know where, I can't think of any Simpsons characters that particularly fits the bill with.
See, I think this is really interesting because I would have said that quite a lot of characters on Coronation Street are a bit stereotypical and quite a lot of characters on The Simpsons stereotypical, but there's not really, it's not like they fit that well together, do they?
No.
And I think, is it because it's American?
It seems quite tricky putting them together. There's lots of American-style characters who just... we don't have people like that over here.
Obviously, they're two different programmes. This is like a comedy... It's a fantastical comedy.
Yeah.
It's not grounded in reality very, very much.
Oh, I got another one. Thinking of the kids. Wendell, Liam. The victim.
Oh, no.
Could we have, like, Lunch Lady Doris playing Ina Sharples if we were going to go back in time a little bit? She's a hefty bird, is Lunch Lady Doris.
I'm trying to think of, like, who's a charismatic guy. It could be Duffman.
Dev
is Duffman.
Dev is Duffman.
Yeah, that I think. There we go. He'd have a great time, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he'd enjoy that.
And then Fat Tony. I was trying to remember what the name of the character that came in that was the gangster when they reintroduced Todd.
Oh, that was Gay Mick, the gangster.
Gay Mick and Fat Tony. I mean, it's the same thing, isn't it?
Well, I think that you know, Damon Hay and Harvey Gaskell like to think that they're Fat Tony, but I think they're probably small fry compared to the mafia boss.
Mm.
But they, you know, you could have those two playing. What's Fat Tony's associates called?
Probably right? Slim Bob or something.
I can't remember what they're called. But yeah, maybe some of those. Any other Coronation Street characters that would have to be in a Simpsons crossover? I think we've got kind of some of the main ones.
Rita,
yeah. Again, not too many doddery old ladies, are there? I mean, you got the odd randomly appearing grandparent, like Milhouse's grandma or Grandma Simpson or Jackie Bouvier, Marge's mum. But I don't know. I'd quite like to get Renier Wolfcastle into my Coronation Street crossover, who plays McBain in Simpsons. But I don't really think we've got any action hero type, have
Abby.
We? Gary in his head.
Yes, Gary.
I think Gary thinks he's Renier Wolfcastle sometimes when he's given Nathan a good kicking. And we also haven't included Krusty, who's one of the most famous Simpsons characters. I mean, we've had clowns in the past in Coronation Street, like Jesse Chadwick. But I don't know who he particularly fit in with.
How
now.
About Fred Elliott? Because they smoke, they get
true.
Depressed.
True.
They put on a show, but they secretly have a sad backstory.
Tragic, yeah. Maybe that would work.
I don't know how much I can go further with an analogy.
I mean, or if we're thinking of modern characters, maybe he could be Kirk again, just for the, I am here to be silly and not much more. I think
we've done a fair job there.
We've got a Dr. Hibbert, Dr. Gerhardt.
Who would be Santa's little helper? Is that just Eccles?
Well, Eccles. Are there any... What dogs have we got on Coronation Street at the moment? Who's got a dog these days?
Peanut.
Oh, yeah. Well, there we go.
There we go.
Peanut playing Santa's
little helper. They've both got long faces,
and,
haven't they?
And no one playing to be played Snowball. By Snowball because there ain't no cats on Coronation Street.
Sad.
Oh, well. Yeah, sad times. Well, there we go.
That was a nice
whistle
stop tour.
I think my replacing the Winter Browns with the Sputkler family is probably my favourite one of those. I think they've even got like a granny Sputkler who would be Bernie as well. But
I like the fact that
we
both.
Do you have any ideas, listeners?
That Dr. Nick would be Jude.
Yeah. just have a quick look down. Oh, I've got Roy being played by the comic book guy. as just being...
actually...
I know Roy is not in any way sarcastic, but he does have his very specific interest, should we say.
No.
Or maybe Skinner could be Roy, a bit of a joyless, humourless guy who knows a lot. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I've also put Sean being played by Mr. Smithers just
for the
gay.
Why not? Yeah.
Just for the gay. And I also, if we weren't going to use Lisa anywhere else, I've actually got her down as Summer replacement. Or Alia, maybe.
Old Summer.
Old Summer or Alia. I'm going to stop now before I come up with any other ideas, but I would genuinely love to hear from listeners about, do you have any Simpsons Coronation Street crossover ideas? We know it's never going to happen. Simpsons don't even know that Coronation Street exists. But
give us your top three.
Yeah.
Come up with three really good ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ones that we haven't said. That's it. Thank you. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Bronte and Frankie, for sending those in. At some point in the future, we'll be back with more listener questions. It's not a particularly regular slot that we have on the podcast, but we'll make it more regular if you send in more questions. We've been doing listener questions for like 7 or 8 years of the podcast now, so we have covered an awful lot of topics. But you guys are creative. You can come up with other ones. You can think of new things to get us blathering on about in half an hour chunks. So just send them in. Write to us at conversationstreet@gmail.com and we'll add them to the list. And maybe next time we come back to this, it'll be yours that we answer. So, thank you everybody for listening. We'll be back at the weekend with our thoughts on this week's Coronation Street. See you then. Goodbye. Lovely having a chat with you, Gemma.
Yeah,
enjoyed
you
that
too.
A lot.
Well done.
Let's go.
Bye.
Bye. The music for this episode came from podcastthemes.com.